Football Friday with Doug and Wolf, powered by Ram Trucks, built to serve.
Let's go!
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Oh, there we go right now, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you may be. Flash the 4 hour number four of the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning, broadcasting out of Cowbell Friday.
So we were going to talk a little Thursday night football, Baker Mayfield, and how it relates to Josh Rosen and Thursday night football from last night. And I told Maloney, the producer of the Doug and Wolf Show, hey, check out Kurt Warner's tweet. I want to talk about that next. And here's his tweet. Kurt Warner says, watching Baker Mayfield tape is quick decision-making, anticipation, and confidence throwing the football last night was better than a lot of starting quarterbacks. I thought, wow, that's strong. I want to talk about that. What did Maloney do? She just went and got Kurt Warner.
Well, there you go right there. Interesting, Graybeard.
So that was nice. Kurt Warner said, yeah, I'll call in on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. Kurt, good morning. Are you doing enough with NFL game day, or do you just want to come on and replace Wolf altogether? We could use you. It'd be great.
Nope. Wolf does a great job. That's his gig. I don't have time for all that.
Oh, no, God. You don't. No, you don't, brother.
You guys every once in a while.
Oh, well, thank you. It was really thank cool you, of you to say yes again. But it was exactly what I said was true. I read your tweet and I thought, wow, that's a really strong comment. So now that we've got you, go deeper if you don't mind. When you watched Thursday night football, Baker Mayfield, what did you see?
Well, I mean, I tell you what, you know, when I watch quarterbacks, I want to see a guy that's confident in what he's doing and is not afraid to throw the football where they believe the ball should be thrown. I think if you watch that game, you know, you watch it from its entirety, that's the difference between Tyrod and Baker. Now, Tyrod is going to make good decisions. He's not going to put you in harm's way. He'll tuck it and run it as opposed to ever, you know, trying to fit it into a hole. And Baker's exactly the opposite, where Baker says, I believe in what I'm doing. I'm going to see it. I'm going to rip it. I'm going to let it go. I'm probably going to make some mistakes along the way, but I'm going to make more plays for you than I make mistakes. And so it's a dramatically different approach that they both take. But me, as a throwing quarterback and as a guy that believes quarterbacks have to win games for you, you can't survive in this league or win championships without your quarterback winning games for you. I love the fact that he came in and he just ripped it. And every decision wasn't the right decision. You know, there were times I wondered if he was even reading anything as opposed to just seeing a guy. But when he let the ball go, he had confidence he was going to fit it in there. And with his anticipation and his accuracy, he fit a lot of them in there. Even if he didn't see anything, and it's hard to say that because I'm just watching film, you know, because there was things on there I go, well, okay, he might have seen this. I don't know if he did or he didn't. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he did. But when he let that ball go, he was letting it go, you know, with full confidence that it was going to find his receiver, and most of the time it did.
For me, Kurt, I was really impressed with the fact that he attacked the middle of the field a lot, right, and threw the ball over the middle of the field, and I realize a lot of that is just the play and the scheme that they're running, but is that characteristic of a young quarterback to focus on the center of the field, the middle of the field, or not?
Well, you know, Wolf, as a quarterback, that is not anything that ever crossed my mind. I mean, I never thought, oh, well, I'm going to keep it outside the numbers, or I'm going to. When you play quarterback, whatever the, you know, the play tells you and whatever the defense tells you, you throw the ball there. So I don't think, you know, as a competent quarterback, you ever think, oh, I don't want to make this throw, or I don't want to throw the ball down the field. I think you just say, here's the play. What's the defense say that I'm supposed to do with it? Do that with the football. And if that means throw it across the middle, you throw it across the middle. If it means throw it deep, it means check it down. So that's not anything that, you know, in all my years playing that ever crossed my mind, hey, I'm going to try to keep the ball outside or anything like that.
It's interesting to hear you talk about. We had Jeff Van Rapphorst on earlier today, too, and he was talking about judge a quarterback's confidence with their feet. Back foot hits, and you're already into your throwing mechanic, or you're on your next progression and you're moving. And if you're nervous, you've moved off of your progression before your back foot is even hit. You're too quick on it. And it's funny listening to you talk about Baker Mayfield, because even though we're all focused here on the Rosen situation and when does he play, I don't see that from Sam Bradford. I see Sam Bradford's back foot hitting, and he's already moving off of it. He's just not confident. And I thought that was stark in watching Baker last night and in now your analysis of Baker Mayfield. Can you tell quarterback confidence by footwork more than anything else?
No, by head.
Okay.
I always watch the head, you know. And again, I understand the point, and they're fairly tied together because your feet and your eyes should always go together as a quarterback.
Uh-huh.
But I watch the head. You know, does the head go from one spot and then lock in on another spot and then lock in on another spot, letting me know that you're knowing what you're seeing. You're knowing who you're trying to read defensively. When that head is kind of moving back and forth and kind of searching, that lets me know they don't know what they're looking at.
Okay.
They're just trying to find a guy open. Mm. And so I'm always watching the head to see how definitive that is. And as I said, you know, good quarterbacks, their eyes and feet go together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when they're going and moving from one place to another, you see their feet pop. It's like, I'm on this guy. Oh, now I'm going backside, and feet and head pop together to find the next defender or the next throw. And that, to me, lets me know this guy's confident. This guy knows where he's going with the football. He knows who he's trying to find with his eyes, because that's going to dictate where the throw goes. So understand the point with the feet, because they should be somewhat tied together, but I'm always looking at the eyes and the head.
Hmm. Kurt, how long does it take you to actually say this guy is going to be a successful quarterback in the NFL? I mean, to me, I'm sorry, but I'm going to make him prove it. Is there anything wrong with making a young guy prove that he can play quarterback and actually be the guy you're going to build your franchise around?
Well, I mean, I think you can always tell signs of things that lend themselves to, hey, you know, what we saw from Baker last night lends itself to make you think this guy's got a chance. What
yeah.
we saw from Sam Darnold the first Monday night, his poise when he's been out there, lends itself to say, hey, this guy's got a chance.
Right.
But as we've seen with Sam Darnold, we're three games in. He was the savior after week one. He struggled the last 2 weeks. Doesn't mean he's not going to be a good quarterback.
Right.
I just think we always have to temper our expectations when a guy comes out and has a good game, because there's lots of things to it. I mean, I remember when I won the MVP in my first season with the Rams as starting. And, you know, I remember going through that season and thinking, man, you know, my first read was open a lot. You know, we were in a new system. I was new. You know, people might have been focusing on different guys because they had no idea who I was. And there were a lot of times where I just kind of felt like, well, that was kind of an easy read. You know, I went back and, you know, first guy was open, put the ball on him. And then I came back the second year and everything changed. And everything was harder. And I had to be even better. And I had to get to my third read and be efficient with that. And so, to me, it always takes time. You know, look at Deshaun Watson. Man, you know, everybody, he's going to be the MVP this year. I can't
right.
wait for him to come back. He tore it up in his first 8 games. Now guys are making him play football differently.
Yep.
Now they're forcing him to have to read things and get the ball out on time and be accurate with the football, and he hasn't necessarily looked the part yet. And again, not that he's not going to be that, but I think we always have
correct.
To understand that, you know, it takes time for anybody to separate themselves as a top-notch quarterback in this league. You can have good games, you can have good moments, but the good players consistently play well
yes.
Week in and week out, year in and year out. And, you know, I know people came out and said, you know, Sam Darnold is going to be the next Aaron Rodgers. I'm another guy that always says, don't throw that expectation on a young guy. Because now if he doesn't reach that level,
right.
now people look at it and go, well, he's a disappointment. You know, early on we thought he was going to, just let these guys become what they become. They don't have to be the next Aaron Rodgers to be a really, really good quarterback mm-hmm. at this level. And so I'm always one that wants to temper that expectation on them and let them write their own path instead of us always trying to write the path for them. Oh, my gosh, what I saw, this guy's going to be the next. But just let him be the guy that he's going to be, and maybe he'll be great. Maybe he'll be really good. We don't know yet, but I just always try to, you know, not put that on these young guys. They have enough pressure to play the position and to be drafted as high as they were. They don't need more pressure on them by having people tell them, hey, you know, or tell everybody, this guy's so good right now, he should be the next this.
Yeah.
And then when he doesn't meet it, we're all going, well, I guess he didn't meet his expectation, which is not true.
We're talking to Kurt Warner, Hall of Fame quarterback. And Kurt, there's one thing that you, and I think a lot of people know this, but maybe not. I would imagine you can connect with what Sam Bradford is going through very, very well. So much success in your career. But in your time in New York, there's the golden child. There's Eli Manning. We're all in love with Eli Manning. Eli's going to be the next this and this. And then everyone in New York clamoring for your benching and Eli Manning. What kind of pressure is Sam Bradford under right now with everyone starting the Josh Rosen clock? Is it more pressure to be in a Super Bowl, or is it more pressure to be the odd man out when the fans and maybe even the coaches are ready to go to the young guy?
It's always more pressure when you've got a guy looking over your shoulder and you got people clamoring for the young guy. And you're in a situation where you know everybody wants to start the future. You know, that doesn't mean they don't want Sam to play right now and have a great season.
Right.
It's just, we know this guy's the future. Matt Leinart, when he was here, this is the guy that we expect to lead our franchise for the next decade or so. So when does that era start? And, you know, the hardest part, you know, and similar to my situation in New York, is that, A, it's not always on the quarterback, but it's the easiest position because only one guy plays to go, oh, well, it starts there, so if we put another guy in, it will help. B, the second part of it is that you're caught between wanting to play great football, but also knowing if you have one of those games, you know, one of those games where you're trying to play confident and things just don't go your direction, and it could easily not be your fault, right? You know, you're trying to, you know, to throw a big in route. And I'll use an example last week because I'm not really sure what happened on the play, but Sam threw a big in route that ended up getting knocked down. And Larry was actually clearing out, looked to me like he was supposed to be clearing out the safety for the in that was coming inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Larry saw, you know, his clock went off or he saw, you know, Sam, you know, kind of break down like he was going to scramble. But Larry ended up slowing his route down and turning around trying to find an open area. Sam threw the ball to the in route, and the safety came and broke it up and almost intercepted it. And, again, just one of those instances where what if that's an interception in a game? Okay, so now do you go back the next time and you go, well, I can't throw that and throw another interception? Or do you trust that guy again and maybe, you know, something goes against you again? And now all of a sudden you've had one of those games where you throw three or four interceptions by playing confident and attacking the ball, and then, oh, well, he threw four interceptions this time to go to the young guy. You know, or do you sit back and go, okay, I'm not going to take too many chances. I'm going to have an efficient game, but maybe not a game good enough to win for my team. And how do they look at that now? Yeah. Oh, well, he's not doing enough at the quarterback position. And, again, I go back to my time in New York. We came out here to Arizona. The last game I started in New York was here in Arizona. And we came out, and they put me in a no huddle for the first two drives. We scored on the first two drives. We're up 14-0. And then we get out of the no huddle, and everything kind of falls apart. I think Bertrand sacked me 12 times that game. And we ended up losing 17-14 in that game. My quarterback rating was like 110, something like that. And I got benched the next week because we didn't win the football game. We didn't make enough plays. And even though I was efficient with the ball, it wasn't the way that we were going to win football games, and that was the difference. And so now Sam's in a tough spot to figure out how to play football now with the guys around him and the situation that he's in so he can continue to play and do what this team needs him to do to win.
Graybeard, thanks for being here. Thanks for coming on the show, and thanks for actually coming to Arizona. We appreciate it, big guy.
All right, guys. My pleasure.
See you. There's Kurt Warner joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to CoulterNissan.com, CoulterTempe.com, or CoulterOnCamelback.com for your next new or pre-owned car. And since Kurt was so nice with his time, free plug for his morning show, NFL Game Day Morning. It's starting at 6 o'clock on Sunday. And Kurt Warner, I don't know if you want to hear this as a Cardinals fan, but this is going to be a big one. A sit-down conversation with Russell Wilson. Especially after Russell is now dealing with the first time of his head coach saying, well, Russell's got to play better. Okay.
Awesome.
Love to hear what Kurt has to say with Russell Wilson. So that's on NFL Game Day Morning. Coming up next, Khalil Mack. How you going to stop him, boys? That's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Get out into the real world. Join us in the real world. Wow. The Big Cheese just came in studio, told us
the
story.
Yeah, the Big Cheese, ladies and gentlemen, just walking around, right? Could basically slap anybody in the face. As long as HR wasn't around.
Yeah. We'll see if he gets away with it. This tonight, Diamondbacks, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, 640. Saturday, it's at 5:10, Rockies and D-backs, and that's here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Tim and Jeff will have the play-by-play of ASU. They're on the road in Seattle. They take on UW at 7:30 on ESPN, 620 AM. And then for the only game this weekend that the D-backs are on AM, they'll do that on Sunday for the finale of Rockies D-backs. That's on ESPN, 620 AM. So D-backs at 1:10. You've got the play-by-play of Bears-Cardinals at 1:25. That is right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And obviously, the main thing that you're going to have to focus on from the Bears' defensive standpoint is, okay, how are you going to handle everything that Khalil Mack brings to the table? And
yeah,
it was funny watching what the plans were in the Bears' last game, as it wasn't a chip situation that much. It was a tight end blocking him first, then going in the route. And mm-hmm. then a tackle just taking more time to get into his pass set, and then blocking Khalil Mack. And then after those two guys did it, he still got to the quarterback.
Sure. Yeah, you know, listen, the guy is incredible. We have talked about this ad nauseum. He's the one guy that I've ever compared to Lawrence Taylor. And again, his body type is different from LT, but he moves like Lawrence Taylor moved on the field. Lawrence Taylor was like a video game. I kid you not. Ladies and gentlemen, my young Kronk brothers, you need to go back and look at LT and the way he played, the speed in which he played the game and some of his moves. Well, watching Khalil Mack, it reminds me of Lawrence Taylor. What is the best way that you could mitigate the damage Lawrence Taylor was going to do to you in a football game? Run the ball. And most of the time, run the ball at him. So maybe you walk up there with a big fat check with me on 1st and 10, 2nd and 1 to 6, classic rundown situations. You walk up with a check with me. Wherever Khalil Mack is, run it to him.
Lean on him. This is Mike McCoy yesterday.
Well, anytime you see a player like that or you play against a player like that, you got to account for him every play because he can change the game in a hurry, as you've seen. In the games that he's played this year and his entire career, it's that, you know, he's got that one play you always look at and say, wow. You know, he has that wow factor every single play, the way he plays the game.
Boy, that's so right.
It was interesting listening to what you said. We talked about this a while ago. One of the failings of Bruce Arians after the starting of David Johnson was he knew how good David Johnson was and the assumption that everybody else knew. And I remember at the beginning of that season, they were doing a ton of play action, like, don't make us give it to David Johnson.
Yeah.
And everybody else was kind of like, so what? We basically don't believe in him. And the play action wasn't working. And then they started running David Johnson and everyone was like, oh, you really do? He is that
that's
good.
That's right.
Okay. And then the play action started working.
Yeah.
So going to your point, do you play action Khalil Mack at the beginning of the game because they're geared to stop David Johnson? Or do you say, no, we have to establish David Johnson first before we go into the play
action? Well, first of all, I think giving the ball to David Johnson means Sam Bradford doesn't have it. Right. And when I say that, Douglas, I'm not talking about anything about Sam Bradford.
Oh, I thought you were right, man.
No, I'm talking
before
about...
Before Sam Bradford throws a pick, let's give it to David Johnson.
I'm saying why wouldn't you establish David Johnson first?
Yes.
Why wouldn't you do that? Because through two games right now, do you think David Johnson has been established?
I do not think David Johnson has been established.
No, not even close to doing that. So to me, I'm going to hand the ball off, and there's no way Khalil Mack can actually sack Sam Bradford if he handed the ball off to David Johnson. So it's really a simple decision to me. Listen, I've said this all week long, and I'm going to continue to say it. Run the ball or die, metaphorically speaking. Run the ball or die. Your choice.
Remember, the offensive game plan supposedly scaled down, make it simpler, fewer plays, I'm assuming, that you have to know and make sure that you will physically beat your man. Pack a bag and join the 2030 Club of Phoenix for the 10th annual Phoenix Suitcase Party on Friday, October 26th. The night will be filled with music and drinks from the Valley's top restaurants, live music, auctions, and a chance to win a trip on a private plane to and from Las Vegas or L.A. Head to the rewards page at Arizona. arizonasports.com for details and your chance to win tickets. Coming up next, what will Wolf be watching specifically when he's up in the press box looking at Bears Cardinals? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The Friday Night Spotlight. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
We're going to talk Cardinals-Bears in just a second. Kevin McCabe, nice enough to adjust to us this morning, because every Friday we want to spend some time talking about what's going on in AZ Preps. Kevin, good morning. Where are you going this weekend, or tonight specifically?
Great games. I thought maybe you'd just get Kurt Warner to talk about Desert Mountain. He's the offensive coordinator up there, but... No, we got week six, boys. It's really serious. I don't know where the time went, but now all the transfers are able to play after sitting out five games. You're going to see some teams shift gears. There's conference play, and I'm headed out to Gilbert to watch Highland, two unbeaten teams. Highland High School, Brock Farrell doing an amazing job with the Hawks. Connor Cullimer is just a baller. They're at home against Desert Vista, who's 4-0, and they got the Grubbs family, Tyson Grubbs and Devin Grubbs, a junior and a freshman running back, a double-team tandem. I'll be watching that game. But I'm also going to keep my eye on Williams Field and Castile, 5A game just down the street. Both of these teams are 4-1, two great football teams, almost like a playoff-like atmosphere. And, of course, tomorrow morning, we'll wrap it all up. We'll bring it to you live, AZ Preps Live, from 9 to 11, the Chick-fil-A Road Series. And, guys, I know you're going to ask me about it. I feel like I keep teasing you each and every week. I'm going to bring you chicken minis are on the menu. I promise. One of these weeks, I will surprise the heck out of you. But we're in Queen Creek. We're down on Rittenhouse Road, and we will have Williams Field. Steve Campbell will be there. Higley High School will be there. Eddie Zuby's team with Spencer Brash, who's headed over to play for University of California. It's all high school football, and we bring it all to you Saturday morning on the number one, the premier high school sports show in all the world. AZ Preps Live.
Hey, Kevin, you know what? Just make sure you bring that buffalo hot sauce they have, okay? I'm telling you right now, I drink that stuff. I do. I literally, yep, drink it.
I thought you maybe just lathered yourself in it. just kind of roll around in it. I know how you, I won't if I've known you a long time. Just butter yourself up in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin, thank you, brother. Appreciate you,
man. All right,
boys.
All right.
Oh, and that's Kevin McCabe again. If you didn't hear, he'll be at Queen Creek for AZ Preps Live coming up tomorrow from 9 to 11. Bickley and Murata, they got their own road show today starting at 10 o'clock at the grand opening of the new AT&T store on the corner of Gilbert and Ocotillo in Chandler. You'll have the chance to win D-backs tickets to the final weekend homestand of the season and more. Plus, you can check out the new iPhone 10. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com.
What will Wolf watch?
So when you are high above State Farm Stadium and you are looking at the field of Bears-Cardinals, what's got your eye?
You know, we touched on it a little bit in the last beautiful part of the program, but run the ball or die for the most part. It's real. The Bears can rush the passer.
Not
that
Bears.
Is the one thing they love to do, and they do it very, very well. We all know about their front seven, especially on the edge with Khalil Mack. We all know what a Mack attack is all about and what kind of damage they can do. Number two in sacks per attempt, the Chicago Bears. The Arizona Cardinals have got to control the line of scrimmage. They have got to get David Johnson going at all costs. Get David Johnson going, and the best way to do that is to run the ball. Once again, that means the onus is on the defense to actually step up and play well. It's not like the Chicago Bears have been a juggernaut offensively going up and down the field, right? They have actually taken advantage of certain situations that were provided. They have scored. They have played well in terms of generating points. But it's not like they're a juggernaut going up and down the field offensively, right? The Arizona Cardinals defense needs to step up, and Chandler Jones is a guy that everyone's waiting to get off on the edge, right? Here's a guy that the Arizona Cardinals need to create some pressure on Mitchell Trubisky. It's going to be great that Marcus Golden, it appears, is going to be back in the fold, right? Marcus Golden coming off one edge, and then Chandler Jones coming off the other right there. Don't know how many reps Marcus Golden may get in this game, if in fact he does play, but just the fact he's going to be out there, I think, is going to be a huge emotional lift for the Cardinals defense and for the team overall. And I still think fresh legs might go a long way as well. Even though he's coming off the ACL, even though he's coming off the injury, even though he hasn't played in a long, long time, of course, I think Marcus Golden is a guy that I'm going to keep my eye on Sunday, along with Sam Bradford. There's just no getting around it, right?
Any eyes on Josh Rosen?
No getting around it. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody has told me this. You need to heed my words and hear them well. Nobody has told me this, but if you tell me that Sam Bradford goes out and struggles in the first half of this game, right, and suddenly the offense for the third game in a row looks like, oh my goodness, what is going on here? Where they're not converting third downs, where they're not picking up first downs, where they're not moving the chains, where they're not even running a lot of plays, where they have no flow whatsoever, no chemistry whatsoever. If, in fact, that's the offense that we see in the first half, I think we're going to see Josh Rosen in the second half. And again, heed my words and hear me well. Nobody has told me this. I just think you can't go through another game where the offense looks completely discombobulated without throwing Josh Rosen into the game. Again, I know that they would probably, if they had their druthers, they would actually start him in a game. That's how they want Josh Rosen to make his debut, so to speak, to start him after he's had a week long of preparation for any team. But sometimes you just don't have that luxury. And I wonder if this Sunday is going to be one of those times.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
The question is on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. Maloney, what is it today?
What will be the result of the Cardinals game against the Bears? 44% say the Cardinals are going to win by more than 10 points.
Wow!
26% say Cardinals lose by more than 10 points. 18% Cardinals lose by 10 points or less. 12% Cardinals win by 10 points or less.
Where'd the 44% come?
Not sure.
Cardinals win by more than 10 is the majority, is 44%. Wow.
You know what? Hey, listen, man, more power to you, my brothers. I hope you are right.
I don't think Cardinals fans are necessarily being homers. I think they're being anti-Bears. I think they're very Bears. Unimpressed with the Bears. For me, there's no way you can get me to go there. And the reason why I say that is I saw an offense that can't get past the 50. Even if they dramatically improve, that's 10 points. I think the Bears can score more than 10 points. I'm not ready to say Mitchell Trubisky is great. I do think the Cardinals' defense will play better, but there's losing, and there's what we've seen the first 2 weeks scoring 6 points.
Yeah.
You can't get me on the train that the Cardinals win this weekend, and I'm just as equally unimpressed by the Bears in that sense as a team, but not certainly I'm impressed by that defense. Coming up next, what do we need on a Friday? Paul's call coming off the bench to lead this show into victory formation. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's call is presented by Brooklyn Bedding. Order your mattress by 3. Get it delivered today free.
Hey, it's your call, man.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's call.
You know what we need on a Friday.
Hey, Johnny, how about a beer, huh? Perhaps a Teddy Bruschi?
No, what we really need.
And I'm going to slap the face off him, and that's it.
We need a Conor McGregor press conference.
I stay on bus.
6 October.
In the bus.
All right, now, most of this yesterday is unintelligible.
You remember this?
You bought me tea, George. I'm a little fat little kid. Don't be talking
like 2014.
This is called prize fighting.
Conor's opponent tried to trash talk.
Well, smash this guy.
Smash me, mate.
They didn't allow any fans in because the last time they did it was pretty much a melee. And there was Conor carrying in two UFC belts even though he holds no title.
I'm right in front of you.
I think it's going to be a long night for him. It's going to be a long night
for him. Oh, Lord, Jamie, that's
He knows this.
Shall we say that Conor McGregor is a bit unhinged?
But thankfully, I'm such a crafty individual with my...
I'm going to put him back to books.
Next time, Wolf, you try and make a point, I'll be like, what's that?
Back to books.
I'm gonna put Let me tell you, I went through this presser, and I'm definitely not better off for it.
Zero, your grappling is zero.
Stall it,
I'm
going
to mow you. Let's wrestle, kid.
Yeah, right.
Let's wrestle.
Let's cut to the chase and how this thing wraps.
Fool, don't come at the king.
McGregor's screaming, don't come at the king.
Fool, don't come at the king.
What was said before that, Paul?
I really don't know. Some hype man. I look, we're the king around here. You come at us.
Hype man.
You get the sawed-off shotgun of sports.
Oh.
Sports takes and the Browns in every direction.
Win over the Jets. Hallelujah.
Fire up the chants.
Baker Mayfield.
Yep. Let's go, Doug.
Baker Mayfield.
I hate the Browns, Paul.
Last night outside the stadium, downtown C-Town.
Yeah.
That's how it gets worse for you guys in Cincinnati. Yeah. So, holy cannoli stab, by the way. Three teams have started 1-1-1 and made it to the Super Bowl. The 71 Dolphins, the 74 Steelers, and the 87 Broncos.
Nice. Obviously, I like to watch the tape. Obviously, Baker did some great things.
Fishy, fishy.
Right.
Again, I have to watch the tape, and we'll go from there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you, Hugh. We do feel bad, though, for the other head coach.
Todd
yeah, Bowles losing to a team that just played its 30th quarterback since 1999.
Skid mark on the underpants of society.
That's incredible.
Todd asked about losing to the lowly Browns.
Well, I don't want to lose to anybody, so the fact that we lost to them is no different than losing to New England or anybody else. I don't like to lose games, period. It didn't really matter who we lost or where we're that we lose.
And because it can always...
That's a great answer.
Because,
that's median 101, Paul.
But, Wolf, it can always get worse.
Roll.
And this morning when Todd got up, the headline in the New York Post, well, totally uncalled for.
It's going to be real bad.
The headline over here reads, Toilet Bowls. No, who played that? Come on, we don't do that around here. Stop it. It's not cool. I mean, seriously?
Man, I thought for sure Paul is going to be baked.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of no comprendo moments.
Oh, my gosh. Mind blow.
Doug, your guide. You're the announcement in Tucson. The nickname of the new indoor football team. It was unveiled yesterday.
I don't care.
Here we go with the official countdown.
3, 2, 1. Tucson Sugar Skulls.
Now, if you couldn't make that out, it's the Tucson Sugar Skulls. They did their countdown and
the final countdown.
And then unveiled the Tucson Sugar Skulls with this killer logo, man.
Whoa, that's so intense.
We tweeted out. You can look at it yourself at Paul Calvisi.
Paulie, did you see my tweet, by the way?
Oh, no.
Yeah, what's the deal with the bags of David Johnson's new product? And you know what? You know what? You guys are about to make a diminutive American joke, and I'm here to tell you that me and Dave, he knows I eat clean, and he knows that I'm not a member of the Fat Guy Update Desk, and
Paulie,
so he only sent me one bag, a small bag, and you guys got this Mondo oversized bag, because that's how you guys feed your face every day.
Did you see the replies on Twitter?
No, I didn't.
Paulie, you got it.
I better not read them.
Badly.
No, I don't want to read
badly.
Them. I don't want to read them. Am I getting ripped?
Sorry for the derail. Oh, you're getting ripped, all right.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
You know what? Don't make me come out there, social media world. I'll be like the Browns. I'll rise up.
It's picked off! They got it! Joe Schobert got it!
That's right.
Is this how it feels? Is this how it feels to win?
Right. There you go.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. By the way,
it's going to be my you, Paul.
In the name of all Cleveland natives.
Take a good look, Cleveland.
Right.
Take a good look.
I mean, who's with me? Jude LaCava needs to buy the first round tonight.
I want to party with you, Charlie.
That's right, Jude. By the way, speaking of partying, and how about the Boston Red Sox clubhouse where we had...
You know, where I grew up, we call those champagne problems.
That's right, Larry. Literally here, the Red Sox clinched the division third straight year, and Mookie Betts...
You know what sucks? My phone is in my pocket.
Yeah.
Is it ringing right now? Are you getting some phone calls?
No, I mean, it's probably gone now because I'm champagne.
That's right.
Somebody send me a new phone, please.
See? There really are champagne problems. His phone got drenched with champagne, was in his pocket, and it's toast. So there you go. Big finish.
And now it's time for another.
Don't read them, Wolf. Don't read those responses.
I'll be gall dang.
Let me tell you,
I'll be gall dang.
What if you never had microphone issues again, Doug? Like Coach Belichick?
Stupid thing.
You know,
what I did love that.
You know, what if you didn't have to worry about, you know, your mic being messed up?
Oh, a microphone-y.
And a phony at the mic.
Yeah.
Get up.
Well, get ready because...
Being tested by your Defense Department, a two-way radio that clips onto a tooth.
What?
I'll be gone dying.
They say this is the biggest thing since...
The Super Bass-O-Matic 76.
They call it...
It's nicknamed the Molar Mic.
The Molar Mic.
I'll be gone dying.
It clips to your tooth.
And can transmit an encrypted wireless signal clear enough to whisper in a hurricane and hear back with equal clarity all inside your head with no earpiece.
Hey, Wolf, open wide over there. Say ah.
I'll be gone dying.
Because we're going to implant this Molar Mic into your sugar skull.
Its developers tell ABC News an incoming signal vibrates the tooth and travels up through the jawbone, bypassing the ears directly into the brain's auditory nerves.
That's rad, dude.
Oh, gnarly!
You trade in your phone for a molar mic.
It's all ball bearing nowadays.
Serious, it's coming.
Eventually, the molar mic's expected to hit the commercial market.
Darn tootin', let's go.
Can't wait!
That's right. You know what? Actually, we're out of here. Here's my keys, intern. You need to get out there and pull my car around right now.
This has been another edition of Paul's Call.
Get off me.
Now, kindly off Paul.
No, I'm busy.
He's busy.
Quiet.
There's like little inspirational little plaques everywhere. It's like you'd be in the bathroom and you look up and it's like, make this count.
You know what? We have one plaque at Casa Calvici. And our saying is, win or lose, we still boost.
Oh, no, Paul.
Stay frosty, Arizona. Sierra Nevada time.
Elvis has just left the building.
Paul's goal.
Thank you, Paul.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's. You. Brought to you by Carol Royce. If you want to learn how to sell your house for top dollar, go to carolhasthebuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is Wolf just spent five straight minutes laughing, and I still haven't figured out what he's laughing at.
It's because he's looking at the thread of messages of that photo he tweeted out. Don't even look at it, Valley.
I tweeted it out, Bezenonians. It's two paper bags, big paper bags, and then a small plastic bag. It was left for us, the morning show. I got a paper bag, a big one. Doug got a big one. Polly had the little plastic bag. And the thread is hysterical. One guy says, why does Polly get the little kitty bag? Another guy says, someone needs to upgrade their sack. Another one says, Polly's got small bags. Another one said, Polly plastic bag.
That's it.
I mean, and on and on and on.
It's go time.
Goes.
Everybody get up.
Now that's funny. I don't care who you are. Peace and strength, my brothers.